great God we have.
Amen.
And how great His love is for us. Eh?
Amen.
How great.
Amen.
Livingston Love Center, God loves you very much. He's got great plans for you. He's got great plans for us. Today I want to share a word about discipleship. We want to cultivate a culture of discipleship. A culture. Different places, different churches have different cultures. We like to think that we have a culture of being friendly. We like to have fellowship together. We like to get together and meet friends. We are an international church. And what holds us together is the kingdom of God. We are from 17 different nations the last time we counted. But we are together as God's people.
Amen.
So we need to nurture the culture that we believe that God is calling in our identity. And one of those cultures is discipleship. So I want to do, this is a very simple teaching today. You will all be able to grasp it. You will all be able to follow it. We want to make room and make it a norm to be in discipleship and to do discipleship. Everyone actively following Jesus. Everyone actively being changed by the following and the obedience to Christ. We have to be obedient to what He says and making disciples, encouraging others to follow Jesus. There's basically three flows, three points, the three flows to discipleship. The first one is, I'm following Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, He would say, follow me. It's the same invitation today to every person on this planet that Jesus says, follow me.
Amen.
What a privilege it is when we start to follow Him, is it? Have you tried? Are you glad you're following Jesus?
Yes.
Give a wave, give a wave. Yes, yes. It's good to follow Jesus. This is the first clue. I am following Jesus. Because He came and He said, follow me. At first when you follow, you don't know what you're doing. But you just follow. I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't grasp that Jesus came and had died for me. But I was in the meeting and my heart was pumping. And they said, if you want to come to God, if you want to get right with God, come to the front. So I stood up from my seat and I walked to the front. I didn't understand, except I was showing God that whatever I needed to do, I wanted to do it. Do you see?
Amen.
And so when I left that meeting that day, I had, for the first time in a long time, the peace of God in my life. I was totally at peace. Why? Because I had taken a step towards, I still didn't understand it. People read something from the Bible. I was 12 years old. I didn't grasp it. But a work of the Holy Spirit had taken place in my heart. That was the day I was born again. Because we don't really understand when we are born, do we, in the natural? Many years later, you realize, I am actually here. So when you're born again, you don't always understand. That's the first one. I am following Jesus. The second flow, number two, is I am being discipled. Now you think you've arrived, you've really missed the point. If I think I don't need discipled anymore, I missed the point. We need to be teachable. There's a lot more. When we are born again, it's in an instant. But becoming a disciple is over my whole lifetime. I am learning, learning, learning. Sometimes we learn fast, sometimes we learn slow. Because we maybe don't want to be obedient in certain areas. You see, but I am being discipled. Other disciples are helping me to better follow Jesus. That's the second flow. All the flows apply to you and me, all of us. I'm following Jesus, and then I am being discipled by other people, and they're helping me to follow Jesus better. Sometimes we say to people, don't follow me, keep your eyes on Jesus. And it's true, of course you keep your eyes on Jesus. But listen, what did Paul say? Let's listen to what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 11:1, if you can show that, Daniel. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So this is the goal for us. That we should be able, our lives, as we are following Jesus, are getting transformed, that we are able to say to others, I'm following Jesus, come, watch. We should be able to say that this is not an arrogant thing, this is the work of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said. He also said the same. In 1 Timothy 4:12, he said it many times. He said, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We need that. We need all of that. Especially today, we need that. That the followers of Jesus are walking in purity as defined in Scripture. As defined in Scripture. So, I'm being discipled by other disciples. They're helping me to follow Jesus more. And the last one, the third one in the flow is, I am discipling others. I am discipling others. All these three flows apply to every one of us. This is a culture that we want to nurture and encourage in Life Center, in the believers, so that it becomes our lifestyle. Meaning, it's in your everyday life, the people around you. The people in your office, they will know that you go to church, you're a believer. They're watching you. Don't kid yourself, they are watching you. They watch us. They watch how we live. They watch how we speak. They watch how we react in the storm. And Paul said, be an example. So we are an example to other believers, but we are also an example to the world because we are called to be the salt of the earth, aren't we? And what a privilege that is. It's by the grace of God. So the discipleship culture means that by the Holy Spirit we have the confidence to do this. Don't look at your own strength, as it were. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. But we need to be active in this, in sharing the gospel, in speaking the word of God. When you mention the word discipleship, what comes to mind? I think for most people, oh, let's go and do a course. I know a good course. I know a good course. Courses are good. But it's a lot more than a course. It's a way of living, which is why we want to have it as our culture. That we are constantly following Jesus. That we are constantly being discipled ourselves and that we are discipling others and helping them to get closer to Jesus. This is our calling. It becomes an overflow of who you are. It flows over. We were chatting a little bit about that yesterday in Stony Burn. I mean, Richard stood up and he was sharing something and then Holy Spirit just fell. Because God had been talking to him about he just needs to show up. and Holy Spirit moves. Well, God just sealed the word because Holy Spirit showed up in a greater measure when Richard stood up to share something. Holy Spirit just fell on the whole group. So wonderful. So there's an overflow of Holy Spirit inside of us, you see? Where you go, no matter where you go, Holy Spirit is always inside of you if you belong to the Lord. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So there's an overflow of that to the people around us. It's living the life of a believer. If you want to know what it looks like, read the New Testament, because there you read the first church, and that is the example for us, the overflow of a believer. Courses are good, but culture is our goal. So it becomes part of who we are. Now, I was listening to one of the AOG podcasts, and one of the chaps said, I used to work in town planning. Now, most of us here are living here in Livingston. It's a new town. And sometimes we drive around the centre and we think, oh, town planning, I think they got these roads a bit wrong. Huh? Look at this, look at all the queues. It's not so easy to plan a town, is it? No. But other things are really nice, and you think they got this bit right. But town planning. So if you work in town planning and you're trying to create happy communities, they say there's three things that you need to do. First, every person needs a personal family space. Your personal family space is your home where you live. Everybody needs that. The second thing that everybody needs is a social space. This today here, this is a social space. We come together. People have a need to have places where they can meet together in groups. That's a social space. The third need is a public space. Something that anybody can take part in. So this is the creating a happy community if you work in town planning. But we can take that principle and apply it to our Christian life. Because this is our main gathering on a Sunday. This is our public place where everybody is welcome. This is our public place. And for discipleship, this is an important aspect of it, because the Word of God is taught, and so people can grasp it and they can grow. So this is the public space. Then you also need the social spaces. That is like what we call our small groups. We have home groups, we've got a men's group, we've got a ladies group, we've got a youth group, we've got a kids club. In these smaller settings, it's more sociable. People can have a say, they can ask questions. We lean on one another. How has your week been? Because we, our human nature, we need one another. We need one another. And we support one another. And we should be receive discipleship also in the small group. And then we have the one-on-one, the two getting together. This is where it becomes more intimate, where somebody leans on a brother or sister for advice. I'm facing this situation. Can we pray together? Maybe you have a prayer partner. But there are people here, they're sitting here in the church, that can be in your inner circle, that can help you when something happens and you need that extra support and you need to grow in your Christian life. You know, this week I got a number of phone calls unexpectedly. I got a phone call from one person who really needed to be offloading about the frustration they had and be the lack of teachability in another believer. I'm listening. We all have blind spots, and it's frustrating that the other person doesn't see their blind spot, right? And so I get to hear about it. It's from another church. It's not even in this country, so don't worry about it. It's not about you. And then I had another phone call, and it just so happened it was the person that the other person was frustrated about. And listen to this, to the glory of God, that person phoned to tell me that they had received a most marvelous healing. The God that supernaturally healed of an injury and surgery where they had been told you have to live with this for the rest of your life. And this person, and I thought, this is the glory of God. Even with all of our blind spots, even with all your blind spots, even with all of our mistakes, Jesus has paid for our healing. Yes, of course, we want to be disciples so that we can have our eyes open to our blind spot and we can address them. Yes, of course. But the grace of God, He heals anyway. He heals anyway. It is His good pleasure to touch you and to heal you. He doesn't wait for you and I to be perfect, for us to be used to disciple somebody else. He uses us. You just need to yield and listen to Holy Spirit. God is so good. So good. So these smaller groups, where it's one-on-one or two, three people getting together, that doesn't need to look like an official meeting. That can look like you're meeting up for coffee and you're talking about God. You're talking about what should I do in this situation? And you pray together, you talk, what's Holy Spirit saying? That could look like go and play in badminton together, because people have a need to have that close relationship. Look at what Jesus did, right? Jesus preached to the big crowd. That's the big public space. In His preaching, everybody could come. The Pharisees could come if they wanted, and they did because they wanted to catch him out. The Romans could come. Everybody could come. Of course, the Jews were there, but even if you were Gentile, you could sneak in. Everybody could come. That's a public space. But then Jesus had the 12 disciples. And the scripture tells us over and over again how He would withdraw with His disciples. And the disciples would say, can you just explain that parable? I didn't really get this. They couldn't ask the question in front of the big preaching. It wasn't the right place. So there was a smaller group. And that's, they did life together, is what I'm trying to say. The disciples and Jesus, if you ever watch The Chosen, it's like a TV series they made over the life of Jesus. But it actually, I think, reflects quite well how Jesus spent time with the disciples. And they did life together. You know, they would light the fire together, and they would cook the fish together, and they would be journeying together. And Jesus would be preaching, and sometimes they didn't understand what He was doing. But then remember, Jesus also had the three inner circles that He would spend some extra time with them. And then, last but not least, this is important for all of us. The scripture says over and over again that during the night, Jesus would withdraw from everyone. He would go up in the mountain, spend time with His Heavenly Father. So that is a pattern for us. We also need that one-on-one time where we are spending time with the Lord, but we withdraw from all the people, and it's just me and Jesus. It's just me and the Holy Spirit. That's important. For the free flows to work, we need that. I'm not going through all the scriptures, or it would just take too long. But you understand the concept because you've read it yourself many, many times. We need that. Hebrews 6:12. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitate those. So this is this principle here, this culture, that you want to imitate the disciples that are further ahead than you, that they can be examples to you in this free flow. Now when people come into a church or a gathering or a home group, I think people are looking around and looking to see how could I maybe fit in. They're looking for like a connection. You know, if you're invited to a party or you're invited to a wedding and maybe you hardly know anybody. In our working life, sometimes Melvin and I would be invited to a wedding of a work colleague and we would go along and the only people we would know would be the bride or the groom. And it's a little bit awkward. Or maybe you don't feel like that, but I felt a bit awkward because I'm going in, I don't know anybody. And you're sort of thinking, where will I sit? And, you know, how do I strike up conversation? But you're there because you've got the invite and it's good to celebrate the wedding. But when people come in to a Christian gathering, they are looking for, how do I fit in? Do I fit in? Is that a connection? Why? Because actually they're really looking for this whole relationship building. And that is what connects into the whole discipleship. So you are flowing in all three. You are a follower of Jesus if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are being discipled and you are discipling others. So when you come to church and this new person comes in, or you're in a small group and a new person comes in and they sit and maybe they start to cry or whatever, you then become their pastor. Right? Because you're sitting next to them. God has positioned. If you're on the bus and the person next to you is in a mess and they're leaning on you, well, now you have the opportunity to disciple them. To tell them, look, there is hope. There is hope. His name is Jesus. At whatever level, you are sharing the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
We are sharing the truth of the Word of God into another person's life. Never underestimate what a few words can do to a person. So it becomes a lifestyle. You don't take out your ABC and start to read it all. You know, you just be yourself and use your own words, what feels natural. So what is a disciple? It's someone who follows Jesus. It's someone who's been changed by Jesus. And it's someone who does what Jesus does. Follow, change, do. Follow, change, do. Do you see the progression there? Because initially we just follow and we think, what's going on? And then our lives are starting to begin to change. And then we realize, oh, he's given us commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see? So there's a progression. So a follower of Jesus. You follow, you get changed, and you're doing what Jesus did. Praise God. It's not so difficult. How do you know if it's working? How do you know if it's working? By the fruit. You'll know them by the fruit. The fruit will tell. Fruit tells the truth. If we grasp the discipleship mindset, we will see transformation. We will see transformation. Peter Cockburn used to be the pastor of this church before he handed over to Melvin and myself. Peter Cockburn always said to us in the congregation, what is the purpose of an apple tree? What is the purpose of an apple tree? And people say, ah, produce apples. He says, no, it is to produce more apple trees. It is to produce more apple trees. That is discipleship. That is the fruit. More apple trees. Not just the apples, but more apple trees. There's a difference there. Significant. Let's look at Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20. Can you put both verses up at the same time? I would just like you all to stand to your feet for a moment, if you are able, and then turn around like this. Can you do that? Stand to your feet, and then turn around. And then sit back down again. Good, good. Now you're all refreshed. You're all refreshed. Now we've all got a new mind now. Now I want you to look at the scripture. I'm going to read it to you. And then I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question, but it's like, which word is jumping out at you at these well-known scriptures? It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Which words in these two verses, what is it that would jump out at you? What jumps out? Stephen?
Go.
Sorry?
Go.
Go. I think that jumps out a lot. Go.
Teach them what commands I commanded you.
Teach.
Jumps out. Yeah. Go. Teach. Maybe for some it's baptized. Maybe for some it's all nation. So there's different things that jumps out at different people. If you're an evangelist, you read go. If you're a teacher, you read teach, right? Because it jumps out. So there's different emphasis here, but actually all of it is all about making disciples, right? It's actually all about making disciples, but you can see how discipleship to those that are very evangelistic would translate discipleship into a mission. I'm going on a mission in February. Oh, great. So that then becomes this discipleship. Or for the teacher, we're doing this course in the home group, and that becomes discipleship. But that is only part of discipleship, because it's a culture and it's a lifestyle. That's what we are encouraging today, and we're saying as Life Center, let's make it part of our culture. That we do all of it, and we're not limiting ourselves. We're not making it into a department, but it is our lifestyle. Billy Graham, you all knew Billy Graham. This is what he said. The word disciple means learner or discipline. So discipline learning. So discipleship is discipline learning by studying the Bible, by prayer, by witnessing, and by attending church. That's a quote from Billy Graham. I have one more quote from John MacArthur. This is actually really powerful. He said, it is passing on divine truth. People live and make decisions based on conviction. There is a process. First you hear it, then you believe it. Then it takes over your life and becomes a conviction. then it becomes an affection. Full discipleship is when you love the truth. Pass down the love of truth to others. Passing the truth of the Word of God. I think this is really profound.
Amen.
So we pass on the truth of the Word of God. You can use your own language depending on who you're speaking to, right? In a language they can understand. You pass on the truth of the Word of God. First they hear it. You pray and you hope that sometime they will come to the point where they then believe it. And once they believe it, then they will take over their life and it will become a conviction. But we don't stop at conviction. It then becomes our affection. Because the love of God comes and changes our heart. And we love God back. And we then love to keep His commandments. We don't start like that one day. It is a process through our lives.
Amen.
Do you see those steps? I think that is really beautiful. So we want to do everything we can to pass the truth of the Word of God into other people.
Amen.
Depending where their level is. You know, you don't feed a newborn baby a steak, right? So we go at the level of the person. But it is our privilege as God's people to pass on the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus Himself is the example how He did it. Now some people, we might think, no, Jesus wasn't discipled. But we know that Jesus lived without sin. But He did learn. And He was teachable. Did you know that? Jesus was teachable. Hebrews 5:8, you can show that. Though He was a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Is the battery gone? Is it on? Yeah.
Yes.
So Jesus learned obedience, and Jesus learned, He would as a child study the Torah. He learned the Word of God. It didn't come built in, He learned it. And He learned obedience. And Jesus says to us, Matthew 4:19, I think we're getting to the end of this. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Praise God. So this is our privilege. This is our privilege that we get to follow that flow. Being a disciple ourselves. Being discipled and discipling someone else. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I will stop there. Hand over Melvin to you.